Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So it's just basically, what's her face? Michelle Keegan and her selector.
Minute Tim's flagship episode 316. I'm your host Jamie and I'm joined by Martin Melly.
Yes.
And Stone Cold Steve Arbuckle.
I was going to do the whole goatee and everything, and that is where my familiarity with Stone Cold Steve Austin begins and ends, sadly. Oh, I could have worn a little leather waistcoat right enough there.
And the knee straps.
A real missed opportunity, I think everyone will agree.
I think people were hoping for it. Oh hell yes, Stephen. International break is over. This one lasted an age.
Oh, it did. Tedious stuff, wasn't it?
It's so terrible. I know this is not the thing to say, right, on a Celtic podcast, but we've been doing this for a while and I feel like we can sort of get away with it. You know, we can basically say whatever we want. We are the opinion setters, but I am so fed up of international. Every time I turn on my telly, Melly, it's Scotland v Israel, Scotland v Ukraine, or Scotland v Ireland. And now my geography's not up to much, but I am absolutely convinced there's more countries in the world than that.
Yeah, well, I can't really complain because Scotland managed to do well this time. Mm-hmm. But because Celtic coming off the back of the St Mirren game, you're just choking to get the games back. But that's us. 12 games now, right until the World Cup starts. So it's full throttle for the Hoops.
Full throttle. Stephen, there was a number of players on the international duty. You had your Matt O'Reilly's.
What?
You had your Leila Abadas. You want to go through the whole list?
That'll do.
But you get the gist of it.
We could go on.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
We've only got one game having been played this week either, so we really probably could have padded out the time length a little bit. The run time
for that. There was only one game this week, Melly. It was Motherwell. I think you said, I was actually shocked. Did you say it was 25 days the last time between two Celtic, both home games?
Yeah, since we last played at Celtic Park. And Motherwell, I felt like ages, didn't it?
I did.
It's just been away games, postponed games and all that. But Motherwell coming to town, expected Celtic to open a can of whoop-ass. Didn't quite happen that way. It was one of those games. But me and Stephen were speaking about it after the game and it wasn't great to watch, but Celtic still created plenty of chances. But I just had a wee look back today at last season. I think Celtic had 10 league games last season where they won by the odd goal. So every season's littered with games like this. It's no very pretty when you're sitting there watching it. But like a year ago today, we won our first away game. A year ago last week, a couple of weeks ago, we drew one each with Dundee United at home. Now when we're not playing as well, we're still winning these games at home, so it's a bit better than last season, but we still created plenty of chances. Just need to be more clinical, lads.
I think, Stephen, people were just itching for Celtic to get back to winning ways, weren't we?
Yeah, I think so, and various reasons the games haven't been on, for international reasons and other reasons. Mm. I'm just surprised. I'm glad that these games went ahead after the events of the week, but it's what Coolio would have wanted.
Yeah.
As well. There's no way he would have wanted that game to be called off.
The Paddington Bear picture with the dreadlocks is amazing. Yeah,
absolutely tremendous. So we did that for the big man. Rest in power, Coolio. That was for you. Ground to a victory over Motherwell, and it's what he would have wanted.
Did we wear black armbands? I can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
That's a shameful disrespect. I think all eyes, Melly, were on the lineup because people are starting to notice form. People are starting to notice player performances. People are starting to have a wee bit of grumble about players appearing in the starting lineup. There's a lot of concern about Carter Vickers not being about, and that central defence pairing, it's people aren't confident about that.
No, they're not, and it's just having that St Mirren game being the last game and not having that usual midweek game straight away to get back into it. It's lay about, and it's sort of you do worry about it because Cameron Carter-Vickers is a huge miss for
Cameron. I nearly said Carter-Vickers,
Thank goodness he did it. No one would have noticed.
Nearly did the old Rangers line up there, the way they say it. But it is a concern. I don't think in this game a concern was any of their defending. I don't think Motherwell created anything, as we've seen by their goal, but it's the passing and the build-up play that's not great. Like Stephen Welsh is fast becoming the whipping boy at Celtic now that Mikey Johnson's away. And look, he played a couple of passes out, a couple of bad passes, but I thought Jens was just as bad, if not worse, at doing it. The build-up's not as good with those two in the team as it is with Carter-Vickers and Starfelt, but Carter-Vickers is just brilliant, so we're never going to be able to replace that. It's just hopeful he's back for midweek, because I think we will struggle away from home.
You're going to hear us talk a lot in this podcast about Patreon. That's patreon.com/20minutetims, and that's where you can get extra podcasts and videos from us. And with Celtic back and a lot of fixtures coming up, there's a lot of stuff on Patreon: match reactions, scout reports, the Breakfast of Champions, which is a midweek kind of, we catch the midweek Celtic news. We've got that coming up. There's so much on there. So patreon.com/20minutetims if you want to check that out. Stephen, I remember you saying, or it might be Melly, but you were both agreeing anyway, and I agree with you as well, more importantly. you can't just expect Celtic to have, like, okay, Carter-Vickers is injured, just bring in another Carter-Vickers. Like, we're just machining Terminators here, you know, we just bring another one out the forge. You're going to get that inevitable dip in quality. Every team gets it.
Yeah, and Cameron Carter-Vickers is a unique case. He's a potential player of the year. He was an official 20-minute Timbers player of the year last year. But he's one of the most expensive defenders in Celtic's history. I think maybe even just short of Julian, he's probably the second most expensive defender in Celtic's history. Now, the only reason I'm saying that is because, you know, just to highlight the fact that it's not easy to go out and find a guy of that quality unless you go and pay for it. And the idea that Celtic can just have a squad littered with £6.5-7 million defenders is a bit fanciful, really. So we need to kind of supplement these guys with the best suited players we can get. Now, that's a separate issue for me, because I think with the performance of Welsh and Jens, they're not bad players. They're not bad players, but I think you lose an awful lot from the build-up, as Melly's already just said, the ability, the speed of the team. And I was thinking that this is surely further proof, if it were needed at all, that Celtic do not need and are not crying out for big, no-nonsense defenders. It just doesn't work at all. What we need is guys like Cameron Carter-Vickers who can play a bit of football. I've already said it's easier said than done to just go out and recruit these guys. Certainly multiple versions of it, that's very, very difficult. But I think what we saw was that Celtic really struggle to play without those guys. And Starfelt deserves mention as well. And I was listening to Sports Sound for my sins. I don't know why. It's certainly not for my psychological well-being, that's for sure. And someone said, I'm sure it was that Daryl Broadfoot guy, who he said Starfelt had a bad first year at Celtic. And I'm like, hold on.
They just pick these opinions up off of other people that are wrong, don't they?
The absolute dictionary definition of hashtag just saying stuff, because they just say it and no one corrects him or anything. But then he sort of caveated it by saying, yeah, but he was good as part of a partnership. You can't have those two things. You can't have, it was terrible, but it was kind of good as part of a partnership.
See, while we're on the subject of the BBC coverage, what is Sports Scene Goals Plus? Because it seems to me like a cut down version of Sports Scene.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Minus.
I want to know what the minus. I don't know why they've called it Sports Scene Goals Plus, because it's just Sports Scene cut down. So it's less. It's a lot of pish.
Aye, they're scaling back. They've rebadged it. You feel like Goals Plus quite literally means goals and a little bit of chat afterwards, that's it. There's no analysis anymore.
Absolutely unbelievable. And just while I'm on the subject, so I don't have to bring it up again, they asked the Motherwell manager after the game, do you feel vindicated that it took a Real Hatate wonder strike to separate the two sides? And I thought, the Motherwell manager's only in this game because we scored an OG. What are you asking that ridiculous question for? But Melly, you wanted to come in.
I just, when Stephen was talking there, it does make a difference having those two guys out, because we've seen a lot this season that teams are sort of sticking a man on Callum McGregor because he is the main man that starts things for Celtic. So if somebody's man-marking him, it's more difficult to find him, although he does find space a lot of time. But that's when you need your centre-halves. And look, Celtic centre-halves have the ball a lot. And it was into the second half, it was very noticeable because Celtic weren't ahead at this point and the crowd were maybe a bit worried about how the game was going because we hadn't scored that goal. And that's when the passes started to go astray for Celtic. And it wasn't just like we were saying after the game, like the game was summed up by Rio Hatate scoring a wonder goal but getting sent off for potentially getting Cal McGregor sent off for potentially causing a goal, and Juranovic scoring an OG and probably one of the best players in the park. So you can see why it was just a wee bit disjointed from Celtic because that international break. But I think the centre half thing is quite a big thing. It's, I don't think they're either bad players, but just not very confident right now. They don't look very confident right now, and I think the crowd, everything about the game, it just played on them. And look, we need better from them, to be honest.
I think as far as their level goes, I think when you look at the St Mirren game, Stephen, I think it's fair enough to say that they didn't perform well. Welsh was pretty bad, but there's a difference between having a bad game and just being bad players.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they need to step up because they're going to be relied upon, especially Jens. I mean, Jens was brought in the summer for this specific reason. I think he's here expecting to play football. So when they're called upon, I think they're fine for the league. It's when we're looking at these European games, it sort of sends a shiver down my spine a wee bit.
Well, we're going to come on to the Leipzig game that's coming up a wee bit later on. We'll go into a little bit more detail, but now that you've brought that up, I would say that this game almost entirely depends on whether we can get certain players back fit in time. Now, we called this on the Monday ahead of the game on Wednesday, of course, but I'm looking at it and I'm not being crazy enough or silly enough to say that it had either is Cameron Carter-Vickers plays in Celtic win or he doesn't play in Celtic lose. I think it'll be more difficult than that, but I would probably go as far to say that if Welsh and Jens play at the centre back, at the centre of the defence, I think we'll really badly struggle, and I think we'll concede multiple goals, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. Another pairing that people are looking at, Melly, is Maeda. Now, there's been a couple of weeks, we actually first started talking about it a couple of weeks ago, that people are looking at Maeda going, we're not too sure about this guy, contribution. You sort of wanted to play it out a wee bit because it was very early in the season, but I think people are now looking at him going, can Haksabanovic take the place off him? Is it time for Abada to start games?
I don't know, it's a difficult one because right from the start of the game I was like, Motherwell at home, this is a game where you can do something. And very first couple of minutes, he goes past, cuts a ball back, and Jota hits it straight at the keeper. If Jota scores that's an assist in the first couple of minutes, and it could change how he feels about the game. Don't think he was bad. I don't think he was good either. I can't really say that for any Celtic player, to be honest, but when you put it in the context of the season, he is lacking a wee bit, but he's still picked ahead of Abada, who he's got a couple of goals against Rangers, but has he performed in many games? Haksabanovic has been in, had to go off as a sub, got injured for Montenegro during the week, comes back to Celtic. So that right-hand side spot's wide open for MD, who wants to go and take it, but we don't really have a taker right now.
I don't think, Stephen, I don't think Maeda's had this massive drop-off in form that people seem to think he had. I don't know if people are maybe overplaying how good they think he was when he first came onto the scene, and then they're sort of comparing him to this false image of himself. I mean, he's definitely not as good as he was. His contribution's not as great, because when he first burst on, you're like, this guy closing down, he's like a Tasmanian devil up there, do you know what I mean? But He has been poor, and he obviously had the misses in the Real Madrid game, and you sort of judge him on that a wee bit. But he's not had this massive drop-off that people are accusing him of.
I think it's just goals. I think goals change perceptions massively. I think he came in halfway through last season and got quite a lot of goals towards the end of last season. He maybe get 8 or 9 towards the end. He was overshadowed by guys like Abada and Kyogo for obvious reasons. Jackie Mack has scored massive amounts of goals, so it maybe kind of went under the radar a wee bit with that, even though he was contributing. But he hasn't really found his scoring touch this season so far. And then if he's not scoring goals, you're really looking for him to be displaying a lot of technical creative ability, because that's kind of what we normally get from Celtic wingers. He is forced onto the right side, which I'm not really convinced he's suited to, but that's simply because Jota has to play on the left, because we lose so much when he comes off that side. Jota's by far our best left winger, so Maeda kind of gets shoehorned into the team. What I would say about the calls for other players to play is that there's nothing really new about that. My entire life, when Celtic aren't playing particularly well, if they're getting bad results, which the St Mirren one undoubtedly was, but even if they're just struggling to okay results, which the Motherwell game was, everybody starts kind of looking around thinking, right, well, who else could be doing this, right? It's always the guys who aren't playing who suddenly get stuck, called upon. And the reason I'm thinking that way with Maeda is that Maeda is the guy in the firing line just now. He has been selected, but I can't help but wonder if Haksabanovic or Abada or Forrest, or as unlikely as that is, if any of those guys were playing as much as Maeda currently is, maybe it'd be different, but I think people would be getting their deficiencies shown up to them on a weekly basis. I'm not calling any of those players bad or anything, right? But Ange isn't picking Maeda to bam us up, right? He's obviously seen some merit in picking him over the guys that everyone else thinks should be playing. Now, I'm not doing that just on Ange knows best stuff. He clearly does, right? Mm. But for the sake of debate, I'm not just saying, well, what he says goes and there's no sense in talking about it. But I just wonder if Abada was playing as much as Maeda is, he would probably be getting the odd goal here and there. But if that drops off, because that's happened with Abada before as well.
We've had the conversations about Abada.
Abada scored a lot of goals last season, but dipped off massively after kind of Christmas, January time. A young player's going to do that. But once the goals start coming away from Abada's game, his deficiencies start to show up. And I think that might be happening with Abada just now as well. I can only speculate because he's not the guy currently playing. But it's one of those, again, it's very Celtic-y. It's probably just football fans' way, but it's like, everybody's like, oh, maybe Ralston should play. Maybe And then you're like, well, these guys played against St Mirren as well. So we need to kind of take a bigger picture approach as well as, you'll be fair about the games we've just watched as well.
I think as well, Melly, with players on known form, it's dead easy just to go, right, drop him and bring someone else in, right, someone else needs to play. But there is the option, but you can try and let him play through it.
Yeah, there is that. And I forgot about it. I got a hat-trick against Dundee United, didn't he? So he has got a lot of goals. But like, Maeda, I said to Stephen as well, I think it's just a case of one goal and he'll be fine. It's just the guy works incredibly hard, even though sometimes things don't come off for him. He's always going to cause havoc just by the pressing, the sheer pace of the guy winning. Like, there was a point where the Motherwell left back got it and he was miles away and he gets over and blocks the guy and it goes out for a throw-in for Motherwell. So these wee things that stop the pressure going on to Celtic that you don't think about, this is what he brings to the team. But he just needs one to go in or an assist, and it's just like, it's big chances he's missed against Shakhtar and Real Madrid. It's no the end of the world, but it's just maybe because Celtic haven't been, like, that was the one win in four games. It's not been great despite Real Madrid and Shakhtar being in there, but like, 4 games ago we were pumping Rangers 4-0, so it's nothing major.
A final thing I would say about Maeda and his form is that it is fine margins we're dealing with here, because when I picture Maeda scoring goals, they are the types of chances he is just not quite getting on the end of just now. You think about the Shakhtar one where he just slid in and didn't quite get his foot on it. Those are the type of goals he scores. Guys coming in at the back post and bundling over the line or getting headers right on the goal line or anything like that. So I think all it will take is for one to go in and maybe we'll get a run of him. But it's just that the fine margin where some of these were going in last season and they're not this for whatever reason.
Even thinking about how he's bad form right now, like, I'd probably still start him against Leipzig just because everything he does. I mean, Abada, I like him, he can score you goals, but in these sorts of games, I think you need a bit more than that. Goals, aye, they're great, but obviously, but it's just Maeda brings so much more to the team, especially away games in Leipzig, and Haksabanovic, I think, will become the main man in there alongside Jota, but he's just not got the fitness to be probably starting in Germany, or you know you're going to have to take him off. So I'd probably still start Maeda, what do you think?
I think there's a nervousness. I think the whole thing is there's nervousness about missing chances, isn't it? Because we do pass up a lot of chances, and I think it's starting to make us a wee bit nervous. And then when people aren't putting them in, you go, God, right, well, maybe Abada could have scored that, and you're starting to pick these players out. And I think, and I also think as well, like I said at the beginning, I think there's a bit of just inflated people thinking maybe giving him a wee bit more, thinking he's another Kyogo or something. They're no the same player. He's no that burst onto the scene, this amazing player, and all of a sudden he's had a massive downturn in form. The whole team, you could probably argue, has had a bit of a downturn in form, and Maeda's part of that.
Aye, we've had something of a, going into this quite tough game, of course, this midweek, we've had something of a wake-up call, might be pushing it, right? But we have lost to St Mirren. We've had a sort of sluggish but effective, eventually, game against Motherwell. So we're not quite on the high that we were after having beaten Rangers, and then there was the cancellations in international football. So the air has come out of that balloon a little bit, and we're now looking around and we're finding deficiencies here and there. We're finding wee problems that we didn't know existed where we were beating Rangers 4-0 and putting in good showings against Real Madrid. So aye, but just, we need to relax a wee bit. It's still a good team. We are going to have dips like this. It's one of those games that you get every season, and it will get, as I said on at the Match podcast immediately after it. It's the kind of thing that will get 10 seconds on the DVD of the season. Yeah. It'll be mainly Hatate's goal. That'll be shown for ages and nothing else will be remembered about that game apart from maybe one or two hilarious moments.
We will win 10 or maybe a dozen games this season by one goal.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably feed into one of those statistics. Three goals from Celtic players in this game, but two goals, I mean... The Kyogo goal, I suppose you could maybe argue, Melly, that it was O'Reilly. Was that would have been O'Reilly's first goal of the season? Am I correct in saying that? If he'd let it go in?
Yeah, it would have been the first for Celtic. I think it was going in, but you need to make sure of those, don't you?
Well, you do.
As a striker, a yard out, take it. You need to take it every time. But O'Reilly, it was not his best game, well, one of his poorest games. Yeah. I've actually seen him for Celtic, but... Looking at a lot of the players that didn't perform great, they were the guys that were on international duty, weren't they? So this maybe travelling, all that, is coming into play. I mean, Cal McGregor played all three of the games for Scotland. Yeah. Come on, man. But it just seems to be a bit stop-start for Celtic recently. Mm. Playing well, game gets postponed, not playing well in a game, and then international break, come back here, get the victory. But look, it's a victory, we move on. I think if Celtic had scored some of the chances they created, despite it not being a good performance at all, we still created loads of good chances. I mean, Kyogo had a couple.
Yeah, should have scored that header. It came off the post from the Hatate shot, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was offside for that. He did another one. He'd done a lovely turn and spin, and the defender just got a touch away. Jota missed a great chance from that Maeda one. Juranovic hit the bar. When are we going to score a free kick, lads? Come on. So there was plenty of chances. We just didn't take them again. And look... I'll no worry yet, but if we start to keep creating these chances that we're missing, this is what's going to cost us in Europe. We need to be more clinical.
Stephen, who's to blame for the own goal? Who are you pinning it on?
I think it's Hart, to be honest. I think it's Hart because Juranovic is obviously the guy who puts over the line with his chest. But how much should you really be generating enough power in a chest back to the keeper that it beats the keeper? I've watched it back now and I don't know... To be honest, I can't really work out where it is Joe Hart is going when he runs past the ball that has been chested back to him. I can't really work out if he's... Yeah, it's just a miscommunication, of course it is. If Joe Hart's looking to claim that ball, then really he should be doing better than that because it's very obvious that Juranovic is going to chest it or head it or something. So I don't know why Joe Hart runs past him like that.
He needs
that,
to be more commanded, doesn't he? He needs to come off his line, shout in Juranovic's ear, let him know that he's come to claim it.
Yes, it's a split second one, but why are you running out so far? You were never getting it, Joe Hart. Juranovic, it's a tough one. It comes over. Are you going to be able to shout, I'm going to chest it back to you? I don't think so. So a guy of Joe Hart's experience should know that. Just a wee... Look, maybe it's just because he wants to grab the ball and start the play quickly, like Celtic do, but just one of those ones that goes in and you're like, that's a bit stupid, isn't it? But Motherwell, that was the only in that game up to that point. They hadn't created anything. Again, Celtic hadn't given up any chances. It was just a cross into the box and Celtic were the masters of their own downfall. But you'd think after that, usually Celtic just go right at it from there, but it just didn't quite work out like that.
I was trying to think back, when was the last time Celtic scored an OG? Can you remember? I could not remember. I didn't want to Google it. I thought I would just spring it on you to see if you could remember.
Cal McGregor scored one against Rangers, didn't he?
I was going to say, I feel like that's sitting on the back of my brain somewhere.
I'll do that. I'll take that. That's probably it. let us know in the comments if that's incorrect or correct. I think we saw all of Rio Hatate in this game. We saw the wonderful and we saw the misplaced passes. And he, just before he scored, they had a good chance, a similar shot, it came right off the bar.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, and Kyogo sort of missed the header. But the corner was obviously something we were working on because Stevie Hamill said after the game that he told the team all about it. very good, you know. Before the game, they were watching out for it. But that was sublime.
It was very simple, the corner, wasn't it? It wasn't even disguised or anything.
Just missed out the first guy and it goes to...
Just passed it straight to Hatate. Hatate had loads of time as well to steady himself. He had two or three touches before, or at least two touches before launching it. An absolutely great goal. Fitting that we got that level of goal to win that game because it was a bit of a turgid occasion. Yeah. And we were robbed of a couple of potentially great goals as well with the aforementioned Juranovic hitting the bar and Rio Hatate hitting the post. So it was nice to get a little bit of genuine quality for that game. Or else that the comment I made about the 10 seconds on the DVD, we wouldn't even get that. It would have been literally just an own goal and a comical sending off towards the end. But Hatate, such an odd player, right? He's such a strange player, so talented, but it has these wee moments in him which we're just about to come on to. But there's no taking it away from him. He can fair put his laces through it when he wants to. I feel like all of his goals for Celtic so far have been absolute crackers. When you think about Hearts and Rangers and there are others.
Yes.
Etc.
Yeah, it was an absolute peach. It sort of eased everything because while, again, Celtic weren't creating too much, you just felt, look, if we get a goal, we'll win the game because Motherwell, even though they'll just punt balls in, but it didn't look like they were going to create anything until Hatate created something for them. And it's just, look, that's what you're going to get with them, and see if that's the payoff sometimes. I'll accept that because more often than not, it's sublime. And look, he's no done anything to cost us any points yet, but that pass inside was a blind pass. It was so silly, and look, it's a big wake-up call for him. I don't think he'll try make that mistake again, so he'll learn from it.
He seems like quite an inexperienced player, but you touched on something just before we sat down to record that he's 25 this season, but this is only third season of professional football.
Yeah, Anne said that after the game, said he was in the...
I credited you with that observation.
He was at uni till he was 22, basically, so he came through the kind
of... A lot of Japanese, aren't
there? Yeah, it's kind of college system of football. He's only been... a professional for, I think this is his third season, that I said, so including half of that at Celtic. So it's really quite incredible to think he's gotten to this level so early. Now, he's not a young player, but in terms of his experience, he basically is. I mean, he is, in terms of his professional football experience, he'd be the equivalent of maybe an 18-year-old or something like that in Scotland, because, we basically just do it straight for school here. So it is... It's one of those ones that's probably weird that his experience level will meet up exactly with his athletic peak now. It's like he'll hit 28 and he'll be an absolutely unstoppable force, but he isn't a young player. It's really an odd case. Maybe similar to the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers in terms of professional experience.
But Cameron as well.
Yeah, but these guys have come through professional big club academies, Spurs and Benfica and all that.
Carter-Vickers spent a lot of time on loan at different places as well.
They've all done their apprenticeships, basically. They've all come through the hard yards and all that and basically earned their right to be at this level. Hatate's just appeared at this level because he's such a good footballer. I suppose we're kind of willing, as Melly said, to take the kind of the rough with the sublime. But he needs to tighten that up a wee bit. I'm sure he will. That he can only get better in this team because we know what a good player he is. It's just that kind of ironing out these things. He knows it as well. From our seat, from where Melly and I sit, basically right on the halfway line, I saw him going up the tunnel and he was angry with himself. He was pulling his kind of jersey over his head and he punched the wall in the most polite manner possible.
He'll punch until you get close to the enemy.
So he probably apologised to the wall shortly afterwards. So he knows he needs to do better than that, and I'm sure he will. It's coming for him.
You know, McGregor was fuming, and to be honest, I was good one to see McGregor was angry. I was good to see that he took the fill like that. It was the right thing to do.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Obviously, it's identical to James Sands a couple of weeks ago in the Rangers game, and that got shrugged off. Cal McGregor gets the straight red.
Yeah, Sands didn't even get a second yellow card. McGregor goes off, but look, I don't think there's much arguing with it. The Welsh was there, but it was too far away.
No arguing either side. I mean, there's no. It probably is a sending off, but I'm so happy Callum McGregor did it. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, it had to be done. Captain takes it one for the team, and looking at the game, you maybe can be distorted by their view and all that, but seeing it with the replays back, that's a definite red card. If the brogue was on the other foot, as we say, I'd be screaming for it with Celtic. And it was a big chance because while we were creating chances, if Motherwell had equalised at that point, you're really struggling there because Celtic had made a lot of subs and it just wasn't looking like it was going to be one of those days we'd get 3 or 4 goals. So had to do it. It's just unfortunate he'll be suspended for a game, but it is St Johnstone away, and bringing on Abelgaard, maybe we'll see him next week.
It was funny to see the various stages of denial with the red card as well, because obviously at the ground and all Celtic fans watching will immediately leap to, oh, that's harsh, that's ridiculous, that's never a sending off. Stephen Welsh is the covering player and all that, and then you see it back and you're like, oh, well, maybe. But then the stage after that is, oh, he couldn't wait to get the card out. I know it was the correct correct decision, but the speed at which you produced that correct decision reveals you as a Masonic.
It's true though. Sometimes they do get the card out awful quick. It's between their fingers before the tackle's even made.
It's one of those old football cliches. Like the referee's having a long look at that. A long look at what has already happened. Yeah. The length of time that you look at an incident is not going to make it any more clear for you. It has already happened.
You know, Callum McGregor does this thing when he's frustrated. He sort of makes like a spinning motion with his fingers, with his hands. Yeah. He does that. And as soon as he gets sent off, he just immediately stood up and went like that. And it's like, he was fuming about it. He's like, fucking come on, why am I having to make this tackle? And he was right.
I think, did he give Greg Taylor the armband when he went off?
Oh, did he?
No,
I'm sure it was him. I'm sure it was him.
I saw him walking towards Joe Hart, but I thought maybe it might have been. I thought he maybe gave it to Joe Hart. So, I mean, we needed to win. We needed to get back onto winning ways. That Motherwell, that St Mirren result, the more you think about it, it's like an anomaly. Like a parallel universe. Yeah. That.
Very frustrating. Because going to the game, we just heard that Rangers had won 4-0, and you're like, 5-point cushion would have been absolutely glorious now, but them going top of the league before we go there adds to the sort of anxiety of Celtic drawing one each going into the second half. But we got the job done. It wasn't pretty, but I think now we'll start to build momentum with these run of games coming up, because I'm really looking forward to this now. We've got plenty of games, plenty of big games, and Champions League, baby.
It's a good word to use, momentum, as well, because it wasn't a good game. It wasn't a good performance. There's no getting away from it. But we did get the win. But I think I would feel worse about a performance like that. Well, not only if we didn't win, right? Obviously, that's obvious. But if that had come at the end of a period of flying, like we were early in the season, but it's come along during a period that I would probably expect Celtic not to really be clicking. Do you know what I mean? There hasn't been a lot of momentum. We haven't really got the ball rolling. There was the international break right after a really unexpected defeat. So it's fine. It's absolutely fine. There was a wee bit of disappointment with the game. Online, people were panicking again, as I said earlier, looking for all the guys who didn't play to come in and replace all these duds. But I think it's just another one of those games that you need to get out of the way during the season and move on.
That was the most important thing. You needed to get the St Mirren result away, and we need to get back onto winning ways.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Stephen, Michael Myers sure is scary, but the last thing you need to be is hairy this Halloween. Luckily, our friends at Manscaped have launched their fourth generation performance package to make sure your pumpkins get the ultimate carving experience on this spooky day. Turn your bite-sized treat into king-sized candy and join 6 million men worldwide who trusted Manscaped Go on to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS. Make the right call this spooky season. It's trick or trim.
Jamie, do you know what I used to do before Manscaped came along?
Broken bottles,
scissors, and or sometimes fire. It simply doesn't work, so thanks to Manscaped for finally coming along. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into a Freddy Krueger film? Well, luckily Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're feeling your best in your costume. Unlock your confidence with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside, you'll find the holy grail of men's grooming items. They've made it easy for you to upgrade your grooming routine. It's a full moon out and the werewolf in your pants is howling. It's time to tackle that problem with the Lawnmower 4.0.
Get 20% off with free shipping with the code TIMS at Manscaped. Manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS, T-I-M-S, at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped. Next up for Celtic, Leipzig and Melly, it's about time we made an impact in this competition. That being said, it's going to be a tricky old tie.
Sure is. They seem to have hit form right around the right time for us, unfortunately. It's going to be a difficult game, I think. Even if Leipzig weren't in form, I think it's going to be a tough tie. They have great players, but they're not a great team by the looks of it. But you just worry then, is this the game they're really going to click? Because they've got so many good players, they really can't. Teams are watching most of their players. And down to Celtic, we asked them to go out and make a mark in this competition to progress in second place. I think we're going to need to take something from this game to have any chance of progress at all. Probably need at least a point here. The Shakhtar game, like the St Mirren game, I don't want to look back at that and go, ah, see if we had just won that game. But I think no matter what, this game is going to be difficult to ask Celtic to go away to Germany and get a victory at any point, no matter if Celtic are terrible or flying, is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but do you know what? I'm looking forward to it because I know how Celtic are going to play. And if we go out and play how we can, we've got a chance.
It is. I mean, Smelly's right, and we know how Celtic are going to play. We know how we're going to approach this game. But we've been saying all throughout this tournament, Stephen, we don't want to be one of these teams that go up and go, we're going to take our style on the road. We're going to test it against the best and then come up short. And the fact is, I think Melly's right. I think we need to take something for this game if we want to progress.
Yeah, I think so. Like, we're fast running out of games now as well. Remarkably, you turn around, the blink of an eye, we've already played three games after this week and we're halfway through the group stage, and one of those games that's remaining is going to the Bernabeu. So I don't know if we can necessarily plan for many points in that one. So I need to start picking up points here. It is going to be very, very difficult.
Points are bust? Because, I mean, if we don't win this game, as you say, you can probably realistically write off the Bernabeu. So we're sitting on 1 point. Will Leipzig come to Celtic Park and Shakhtar come to Celtic Park?
If Real Madrid keep winning, we should be all right. But it's just down to that, isn't it?
You kind of want to win your home games there.
I think we're still in a decent position.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, because of Real Madrid's form, the only no luck though, we end up, Real Madrid will just drop a weird result and lose a game or something, and it'll throw it and the whole thing into turmoil. But we're still in a decent position as it stands, even if we don't do great against Leipzig. I think that winning the two home games, as long as we put ourselves in a decent position as well, where we're going to win both head-to-heads against these teams as well, we're looking all right just now. This game at hand, though, I think it is going to be difficult. I gave a little preview earlier on, check the record, bud. I might have mentioned it earlier, but I think I might not have been as harsh earlier on, but we're loosened up now. If Welsh and Jens play at the back, I think we're going to quite badly struggle, to be honest. I think they do. I completely understand the reservations around those players, because I share them. I'm not going to sit here and tell everybody to calm down. Oh, they're better than you think they are. I think they are a little bit dodgy just now, and that's again, that's understandable, because not many teams could afford to lose the quality of Cameron Carter-Vickers and Starfelt and still be able to play the same way. We could say that we'll go into this Leipzig game playing the same way as we do. But something you said, Jamie, about the St Mirren game is that if you change so much about the team, can you really necessarily say it is still the same approach? Because if you've replaced the players who play that way with players who can't really do it, is that necessarily the same thing? And I would tend to think that way about this game as well, given what we've seen about Jens and Welsh's ability to play out from the back and start Celtic's attacks quickly. I don't think that either of them are very good at it. So with that in mind, I don't know if we necessarily will see all that Celtic air performance if the two of those get... No, I'll leave aside the possibility that Cameron Carter-Vickers by God, that's Cameron Carter-Vickers music and he comes in, right? Because that really is going to be one of those occasions where we're all looking at the lineup.
Yeah.
As soon as that drops, we're all going to be sharing it in group chats and all that, hoping that Cameron Carter-Vickers is in there. I mean, again, I don't want to place the whole result on that guy's broad shoulders.
Massive.
But I think it's of utmost importance that he plays this game because we're going to struggle without him.
See, if we don't have Carter-Vickers, maybe if we do, Melly, do you think we'll see Abelgaard come in, maybe play a double pivot with McGregor? You think he might switch to that? Abelgaard's here for a reason.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think he'll be next weekend. We'll see him just because, look, if your defence isn't as great as you want it to be, I think Andrew Moore looked great. I want the front line to be best, and I think O'Reilly, Hatate, McGregor is Celtic's best midfield, so just go with that, and we can have two wingers in Kyogo, Jota, and whichever one we go in the right hand side. But I think that midfield, I just think that's where we can win the game rather than a double pivots where we might not lose the game. So I think Ange will target that. And look, this game, kind of think it's pivotal, but at the same time I don't, because if we are going to say, right, we need to win two home games, that's Leipzig and Shakhtar. Leipzig and Shakhtar will be thinking the exact same thing. Shakhtar have already dropped points against us in one of their home games, and they've got another one against Real Madrid, so they're going to need to beat Real Madrid at home. Leipzig have already lost away to Shakhtar. We've got a point there, so I think this group's going to be very, very tight, and any point is going to be really precious, especially if they're away from home. So a point away from home here would be a great result for me, but if we don't, I don't think it's the end of the world, because I think we're just how tight it is. 7 points might be enough for us.
I just want us to, well, there's two things I want to happen. I want the Leipzig that Rangers played last season to turn
yes, please.
Because they were absolutely garbage. So that it would be great to do that. But I want us to pull one of these results out the bag, Stephen. I want us to go somewhere and have the eyes of football look at us and go, much like, I hate admitting it, but people did with Rangers last season when they beat like Dortmund and they beat Leipzig. I want football commentators out with Scotland to look at Celtic and go, by the way, Celtic did a job in Leipzig there.
But nice if Scottish ones done it and all.
Ah, you're never getting that.
Well, yeah, again, result and performance are sort of different. They're sort of separate aspects of this as well, because what we came away from the Shakhtar game thinking was, yeah, it's great, a point. We got a good point away in the Champions League, but we should have won that game. So
100%.
Again, context is really important here. We might be sitting ruin it this time next week as well, not being able to get the result, despite the fact sitting here right now saying, you know, if we drew 1-1 or something like that away in Leipzig, well, that's a great... It just depends how it plays out. The Leipzig against Rangers, given it's basically the only attention I've paid to Leipzig since we last played them, however many years ago that was, I had to scoff when I saw that Nkunku has been linked strongly with a pre-agreement with Chelsea in the last hours, really. Big move to Chelsea, and I thought, why are they signing that dud?
He was awful.
Disappointing against Rangers.
He was absolutely awful against Rangers. Listen, we've got lots coming up for the Leipzig game. We have got a scouting podcast that will be dropping on Patreon, where we've had Euroscout Alex Barker have a look at Leipzig. We'll be talking about how their approach to the game is going to affect Celtic, how we might get something out of that game, their key players, their dangerous players. A full scouting report on Leipzig is going to drop on that podcast. Stephen and I will be bringing you live match build-up. Melly will be over in Leipzig. We'll have an at-the-match podcast.
Correspondent. On the ground.
What's the Leipzig stadium called? It's probably called the Red Bull Arena or something, isn't it? It's really boring anyway. We'll have immediate match reaction from the Red Bull Arena. Lots happening on Patreon there.
Just made it up.
What did I make up, Red Bull Arena?
Don't mention them again. We should be getting paid for this. Just stop mentioning brand names.
Why can't I help it? Because that's why they do it, isn't it? That's why they bloody do it.
It's a good guess, or is it just in the back of your head?
Well, what I want you to do is, will you two discuss the game further, come up with an opinion on it? Melly, do you think we'll get anything out of the game? I'm going to Google it.
6 mentions of Red Bull on this one, and counting. Get in touch, Nay Danger, and Red Dragon Soup and all that. You taking that?
Who's that wee 89p sugar-free company that I use? Get in touch. That's more that's more up our
pitch.
We should be drinking it. We should all like that. I've seen it at Wayne's World. Head to toe in Reebok. Melly, you think we'll get something?
There's another one.
You think we'll get something out of this game?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to taking my Ryanair flight over and seeing what we can get get out of this. I don't know. I think it really does come down to Carter-Vickers being there or not for me. I don't just think it's physically, but psychologically, the massive blow that could be, or the massive high that could put Celtic on. It just, it makes everything a lot better. I think we can attack them. I think we can score against them. The only thing I'd worry about is the defence, and if Cameron Carter-Vickers there, I'll not be as worrying as much as I would.
Can I just tell you that RB Leipzig doesn't actually stand for Red Bull?
Rasenball
So I was wrong to name Red Bull there. I shouldn't have ever dropped Red Bull's name on the podcast for absolutely nothing, but I can confirm the stadium is called the Red Bull Arena. Get up, you. Get up and question me. I'm on podcast, Stephen.
Where do we go from here? Any more brands we want to
say, to be honest, there's no way they're going to buy over a football club and not name the stadium after themselves.
We're getting into the weeds of it now, but there was a weird legal thing where they started to distance themselves. Remember, there was Salzburg as well. They weren't allowed to own two competing clubs in the Champions League or something like that, so they distanced themselves, and that's where the Rasenball Sport comes from.
Just but left anyway, the stadium name, but
I'm glad we cleared that up.
That was an oversight, wasn't it? We just left that big brand right across the stadium. But this is going to be very, very difficult. I'm confident in a way, because you know we know how good the Celtic team are when they're fit and firing and all that. We've had a bit of a blip over the last couple of weeks, but another way to look at the Motherwell game is that, look, did he play that well but still get the win? Yeah. There's two completely different ways to frame a win such as that. You could say that it was disappointing, a little bit turgid, but also the big cliche is that's why we're champions. It's because you're able to win a game like that. So you can only hope that kind of blew the cobwebs off a bit and allowed Celtic to hit top form again. Selection's going to be massive. Melly's already said, and so have I. It's going to be huge, depending on what defence we can put together. I think the rest of the team almost picks itself, save for the debate over Maida and Haksabanovic and Abada that we've already discussed as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see any one of those names on it either. I wouldn't really. There isn't a name that they could pick apart from Forrest. they would absolutely knock my socks off with surprise. But I think the rest of the team is pretty well established by now. But that defence is giving
you the jitters.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
It's kind of, again, what you were speaking about earlier in the season, it's kind of what all we asked for. Celtic are going away to a German team, and we are not sitting here in the Celtic Champions League away day fear, are we? We're looking forward to the game, and we're going, do you know what? We might be able to get something out of this. So, look, this is how far we've come in a year, as I've mentioned. We just won our first away game since February, a year ago today, and now we're going into the Champions League competing and pretty confident. So I'm looking forward to it, and bring it on, man.
I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see some of the players step up. I think a few of the players, Jota in particular, will be a wee bit disappointed about how he's performed in the Champions League.
Give me his proper name, like Sport Sound.
Jota. they still managed that. So I think Jota will be... I think this is going to represent a good opportunity for some players who've not been playing particularly well. Matt O'Reilly coming off a pretty bad game, but he was sensational. He's been sensational in Champions League for us. So I'm really looking to see the uprated performance from Celtic. And as usual, I've got faith in the manager. But what I desperately want, whilst I've got faith in the manager, I don't want this whole Champions League experience to turn into that was great, but we didn't really make any impact whatsoever. We didn't qualify. We didn't really get any good results on the road. There's nothing really to talk about.
This is the game, isn't it? Because the Shakhtar game, while we should have won it, it's against Shakhtar in Warsaw. It's not the Shakhtar with it, but this is the one in Germany where you can really go and people will take notice, like you said. And it's that game where you're going, look, Rangers managed to get something off them, we can do it as well. It could be that pivotal game in this group, right in the middle, where we go, you know what, see if we win this game and we take points in our two home games. Pretty much through it. Easy seeing it here, sitting in a chair. But I think this could be a game. I don't think it's win or bust, but if we win, we're right on our way.
I don't think there's anything to fear, because as much as they are one of the new sort of new breed of European big teams, you know, they don't have much history, but they've invested an awful lot of money into it in recent years. They did have to change their manager very recently because they haven't had a good season. Now, you could say that, you know, you might get a new manager bounce. The new manager is in now. He's been in for a handful of games and might be getting his ideas across. But I don't think they're going to cure all the ills of that in a handful of games. They can clearly be got at. They do have goals in the team, of course. They do have Nkunku, who've already mentioned. Timo Werner was a huge flop at Chelsea, but what does that really mean in this day and age? I mean, better strikers than him have come and gone at Chelsea and not really pulled up any trees. So he's going to be a danger as well. I think that they are a good team, but I think there are reasons to be quite confident about this, even with the reservations, you know, that I hold over Celtic's capabilities at the back in this game, depending on lineup. But I think we've got reason to go there and try and get a result.
And that's the bottom line. 20 Minute Tim said so. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of 20 Minute Tims. If you watch us on YouTube, please hit subscribe. If you want more content from us, please check out patreon.com/20minutetims. But thank you for watching and listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.